It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program here today for a Tuesday. We have a good lineup of guests today. We're going to be talking about dealing with sadness during the holiday season in just a moment or so. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about dealing with the cold and making sure that your furnace and your heating system are up to snuff as we head into the cold weather season. It's already here this year, isn't it? And finally on the program today, the Butler Little Theater always opens a new show on Thanksgiving weekend, as long as I can remember. And it's great because a lot of folks have visitors in town. And after Thanksgiving Day has come and gone, what do you do? Well, the Little Theater has a great comedy coming up. It sounds like it's almost a farce. I've not seen it. It's called Jeeves in Bloom. We'll have some folks involved in that production with us a little bit later on the program today. But first of all, we say hello to an acquaintance of long standing. Robin Miller is here. Robin, good to see you.
Great to see you.
From Thompson Miller Funeral Home, Robin has been trained and has been helping people deal with grief issues for many, many years now, have you not?
Oh, I have to think about that. It's been quite a while, since 1990.
Well, my point was your experience in this.
A few years.
You deal with this a lot, and you have a special program coming up as we enter the holiday season. Tell us about it.
I do. It is called Remembrances, Tinsels, and Tears, and this is actually our 18th year to offer this to our community. And it's something that we at Thompson Miller Funeral Home want to provide and have available for people who are experiencing grief and loss after the death of their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday time is probably one of the most difficult times to experience and to go through. And to know how to do this and if they're okay, they're just at a whirlwind. And they are just hurting so badly, but yet everybody around them is shopping and singing and having a great time and getting together with family. And they just are like, I don't know what to do because I can't do this. So we want to provide this holiday service for those who are struggling and who are worried about how are they going to do this? How are they going to get through these really big, difficult holiday time?
Mm-hmm. And it starts with Thanksgiving, really, because families gather at Thanksgiving time.
Absolutely.
And this year there may be a place missing at the table.
Absolutely.
And that's tough to deal with. You know?
And what do we do with that? Yeah. How do we do that? How do we get through that? So we have some things that we will be sharing with people there to help them through the holiday time.
Well, tell us about the event, when and where, first of all.
Well, it is going to be on Tuesday, December the 4th, and it's going to be held at the Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we are having it at that particular church is because of the convenience of it. There's plenty of parking. It's all one level. It's very easily handicap accessible. We have our service in the sanctuary, and then we just go right across the hall on the same level, no steps, stairs, and have a little reception area at that time.
And this is just off Route 422 at Mount Chestnut.
In fact, you can
see it from Route 422 when you make that Y there.
Right, yeah. Right. It's very easy to get to.
Mm-hmm. I've been in that church. I've sung in that church, so I know you're right. It's all on one level, which makes it very nice. If you're wondering about Tuesday, December 4th, folks, it's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today.
That's hard
the calendar, Robert and I were kind of laughing. The calendar is a little bit goofy this year. There is more than a week left in November after Thanksgiving, and that doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't.
Usually a few days, and then bada-bing, it's December. Mm-hmm. But this year, because the 1st of November happened to be a Thursday, the fourth Thursday gets here pretty early, day after tomorrow, and there's more than a week left in November after Thanksgiving. So December 4th, Tuesday evening, December 4th is 2 weeks from today. And it is an evening program, right?
It is an evening program. It begins at 7 o'clock, and it's about an hour service, and then we have some reception afterwards, a light reception.
Do you need to make a reservation, or would that be nice?
No, reservations are necessary, and anyone is invited.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I would like to offer to anyone, if they would like to participate, is that we have an ornament program. And what that is one of the things that we are going to share at this service and just kind of discover one of the things that helps us through this hard, difficult time of holidays, is to do something in remembrance of our loved one. And I will speak a little bit more about that. But the ornament program, you may order an ornament. You can get on to our website, which is www.thompson-miller.com. And you can order one ornament. You can order several ornaments. They make a nice Christmas gift in remembrance of your loved one. And then if anyone would like us to remember their loved one's name, and we have a list of names that we would like to remember and to honor as well, mm-hmm. that we mention during the service.
So you'd want to take care of that in advance.
Obviously. Right. So I would like to know about that by the end of this week. And especially if you want to order an ornament, we're going to have them personalized. And so all of the information is on our website, and there is an order form on there as well.
Will there be music at this event?
Yes, there will be music, and we pick particular songs that we think would be appropriate for this kind of service.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we're really excited to share that we're having a special duet that is going to be sung. And we also have the Axe Choir that will be joining us, as they have done quite a few years, and they will be a part of the service as well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful choir. You know, they've been around for a while.
Yeah, they have been around for a while.
Yeah,
they're a great choir.
A lot of holiday stuff. We're talking about remembrances, tinsel and tears, coming up Tuesday, December 4th. If you know someone in your family, your circle of friends, a neighbor who will be grieving over the loss of a loved one as we enter the holiday time, make sure they know about this. There's no charge to attend.
There's
this,
no
right?
charge. Absolutely yeah. not. And, you know, one of the things that I do want to mention is it's very helpful to remember those that we love. One of the biggest things that I have learned with all of the support groups that I have been honored to facilitate mm-hmm. is that so many people, they complain that my loved one's name is never mentioned. Nobody talks about him. Nobody talks about her. And so this is a gift that you could give to a loved one in your family or to a friend that you know and say, you know what, let's go and let's remember Sam or Susie or whoever it is that has died in that person's life, because it means so much to have them remembered.
I think sometimes, hypothetical examples, say grandma has lost a spouse, for example, and you get together for a holiday meal or under the Christmas tree or whatever. Some people are hesitant to mention it because they don't want to make grandma feel bad.
Absolutely.
Okay? And they have the best of intentions, but it may have just the opposite effect.
And
grandma might think, oh, gosh, nobody's mentioning grandpa. What's going on here?
And, you know, one of the things that we need to say to people is, it's okay if I cry. Yes, I may feel bad, but I love it when you mention his or her name.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel good, but yet it makes me cry. It's okay. I tell people it's okay not to be okay. And so it is more important to mention the name than not, because so many people hurt even more when that person's name is not mentioned. I'm going to give you a personal example.
Yes.
My wonderful father died a year ago, August. And our first holiday, family holiday together, was Thanksgiving last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all trying to think, you know, this is something that we talk about, so let's practice what we talk about. And one of the things that we have discovered is that we love someone that we have that has died. Where does that love go? How do we continue to love them? Grief is love with no place to go. So my dad was... he had some serious heart issues, and so he was on a very strict diet, and he couldn't have any sodium or any fats. And so when he had a baked potato, he always had, he couldn't use butter, so he loved that salad vinegar. And so at every dinner table, no matter where we were, he had his salad vinegar with him. So we decided last Thanksgiving that even though Dad was not there, he was going to be there in our hearts and in our presence. So we got the salad vinegar out and put it on the table.
Way to go. That's
and good. That was how we remember Dad. And it was a great conversation to begin talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
And we laughed and we cried together.
I know in our family, we love to share stories. You know, the Irish people are great storytellers. You want to sit us down at the table, we can still tell stories till 4 o'clock in the morning. And we do that. And, you know, we laugh and we shed a tear or two, mm-hmm. and we laugh some more. And then somebody mm-hmm. else remembers something else.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
It's really great fun. And I think it's a great honor to them.
It is an honor to them because yeah. we do continue to love them, and love never dies, and we need to express that. And by expressing it is remembering stories, just as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it just fulfills your heart to know that they're still a part of you and you can still share those wonderful memories together. Even they bring laughter and tears.
Yeah. It could be something simple, you know, like... I remember where Dad used to sit at the table, or mm-hmm. Aunt Ethel, or you
yes.
know whatever. And, oh
yes.
yeah, yeah,
yep.
She would always sit right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. I don't know whether I'd have, you know, have an empty plate there. I mean, that might be a little bit too far, but you could remember that very nicely. And say,
you
oh, yeah,
certainly
that,
can. You certainly can. And I've had people that have even their loved one had a favorite dish that they had at the Thanksgiving table or at the Christmas table, and they made that Thanksgiving dish in their honor and remember them.
Yeah. Grieving is an important part of life, and we need to grieve, don't we?
We do, and one of the things that I really express in the support groups and the people that I have the privilege to support, and that is... that there are two things. There's grief and mourning. And a lot of people think that grief and mourning are synonymous and that they mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They do not. Grief is all of the feelings and the thoughts that you have with inside of yourself. Mourning is taking that pain and that grief inside of yourself and expressing it outwardly. So what is very important in our healing process is that we allow ourselves to mourn and express that love that we have for them in all different kinds of ways through our emotions that we have. And that's how our hearts work. We live in a society, it's a quick fix society. You know, any hurt, any pain that we have, we want to take it away as quickly as possible. That is not how the grief journey works. Love never dies, and so we never get over that person. Neither do we want to get over that loved one, because we just shared how important it is to remember them. And that's what helps us to get through the tough days. And, you know, of course, you're going to have tears. You're going to maybe have some anger. You're going to have some questions, and you're going to have some hurt. And every day is different, and some days are harder than others. But we need to realize that that is all important to help us to heal in our grief journey.
Mm-hmm. And the way, well, first of all, we know a lot more about the grieving process these days. You know, there's a lot of psychologists doing research and studies that we never knew about before. So the way grief is expressed changes over the years and over the decades. There was a time when, you know, a person wore mourning clothes, black clothes for, you know, like a year afterwards. I read somewhere where Queen Victoria, the longest reigning British monarch up until Elizabeth II just passed her here a year or so ago, Queen Victoria, whenever Prince Albert died, wore black for years.
Yes.
Afterwards, she wore the mourning clothes. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about M-O-U-R, and obviously mourning, not the time of day.
Right.
That's not done that much anymore. We grieve in different ways. We know more about grief. We know how important it is.
We do know, and we know the importance is. You know, in those days, it was good that they wore grieving, mourning clothes. Because that way, it told people that they are sad over the death of a loved one. Mm-hmm. Where today, you know, people come into my group and they say, I don't know what's wrong with me. Because Susie just lost her husband, but she seems fine. She's okay. But me, I don't know what's wrong because I am sad every day and I am having a difficult time. And I don't understand that. And so this is when I share what you call the duck theory. And what that means is when you think of an absolutely beautiful swan swimming on a lake, and that swan is so serene, and that swan is so peaceful, and life is grand when you look at that swan. It's beautiful. But there's something about that swan that we don't see, and it's the feet underneath paddling. And, you know, when we look at people, we don't know what they're dealing with in life on the outside. And there's all kinds of things that every one of us are dealing with on the inside. And so those days when they wore the black clothes, that was actually, to me, that was a good thing. Because it told people that they were struggling and they were experiencing the death of a loved one at that point in time. Where today, we're lucky if we get 3 days off from work, maybe, after our loved one has died. So many people think that we should be done and over with and everything's okay and grand after a year. And that's not even near close because everybody grieves differently and love never dies. And so it's a lifelong process.
We're talking with Robin Miller from Thompson Miller Funeral Home. Once again, they are going to be sponsoring Remembrances, Tinsel and Tears. You said it's almost 20 years you've been doing this now?
18 right? years. This is our 18th.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Tuesday, December 4th is the day. It's an evening affair at the Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
That's the right title. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Mount Chestnut, which if you're not familiar with that, it's probably 3 or 4 miles west of Butler at 422. Yep. And when you come to the intersection with the... Well, that's
there's a gas station there.
Yeah, there's a Sunoco AM PM
right.
Mini Mart.
Mm-hmm.
You take the Y to the right, and the church is, you know, like quarter of a mile down the road.
Right, right.
On the left-hand side. You'll see it if you're not familiar with where it is. Remembrances, Tinsel, and Tears. Let me take a quick break. I have a few more things I want to talk about with Robin Miller. So we'll take a short break and be back to chat a little bit more in just a moment or so. Be right back.
Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has a rich history in Butler. Now they are making continuous improvements and technological advancements to better serve the community. Sunnyview specializes in short-term rehabilitation and skilled nursing. Schedule a tour to see their beautiful facility. Call 332-6872 or visit sunnyviewcenter.com. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, close to your home and close to your heart.
Welcome back, good friends. If you're just joining us on It's Your Turn today, I know it's a pretty wintry day. Robin and I were talking before we went on the air. No Indian summer this year whatsoever. It was like we hit the middle of October and boom, the hammer came down and that was it.
Yep.
It got cold and I kept thinking, wow, another couple of days, another week, it's going to warm up. And then little did we know what was in store last Thursday. Holy moly, wow. We're talking about remembrances, tinsel, and tears. You mentioned, Robin Miller, that people grieve in different ways. Different people grieve in different ways. I can remember, in fact, I think it was you that told me this story once. Kids sometimes will act out grief in a totally different way from an adult. Occasionally you'll see younger kids at visitation at a funeral home where they'll start to laugh or they'll be joking around. Don't be so quick to criticize or to shush them. That may be their way of grieving.
And it is. And there's this statement by Dr. Alan Wolfelt, and he said, if you're old enough to grieve, you're old enough to mourn. And so that goes with children. Even babies and infants. We had an experience with a family who mom was killed in an automobile accident, and there were three children involved, and three children who survived. They were not in the accident. And there was an infant and two other daughters. And that infant, of course, missed mom. And to this day, every day that she experiences her life, she is going to have to be without her mom. And she's going to grieve that. And she's going to mourn that as well. As she graduates from high school, as she gets married someday, she goes to college, or if she has children of her own, she's going to be missing her mom. So that isn't exactly the direction you were going. But children grieve and play. And a lot of time people become and they think, well, I can't believe they're out there playing and having a great time after mom died. And that is exactly how children do it. I've had a wonderful experience to be able to volunteer at the Caring Place in Wexford, which is a center for grieving children and their families. And it is an amazing place. And what they do is the children of all ages up through high school, 12th grade, they help and they support. And they all go into their specific classroom age groups. And every one of them have some type of a project that they will do. And one can be that they will do a remembrance box. And they have activities that they do. And children need activities where adults need to talk and to share and express outwardly. But children express through play and by activity.
We should point out, and this is crucial, this event coming up Tuesday evening, December 4th, is not just for individuals who have lost a loved one within the past calendar year. Sometimes grieving will burst forth years after the death of a loved one.
Absolutely. That's because love never dies.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be 5 years ago. It could be 20 years ago.
Yes, and it does not matter.
And all of a sudden, it's going to be really tough this Thanksgiving or this Christmas or whatever.
Right. And maybe you've experienced another loss within the family as well, with several people that you're dealing with. But it does not matter because love never dies. And So we have to try and think of some creative, meaningful ways to remember our loved one within this Christmas holiday season.
I think it's the most important time. I mean, I'm sure everybody listening to us has lost a loved one of one sort or another. You remember a birthday, you know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, this was Dad's birthday or whatever, sometimes a wedding anniversary. But, man, when you get to the holiday season.
You do, because it's so family. It's so family-oriented, and it's family togetherness, and that's when you really, really miss that person that you love very much.
I think some people feel guilty because they maybe are not grieving as much outwardly as somebody else in a similar situation.
And that all depends, you know, on the type of relationship that you had with that particular person. We all have different relationships. And, you know, within a family realm, in my own personal family, you know, Dad died. And so I have a sister and a brother and my mom. And so we all are dealing with it in a different way. We all express it outwardly in a different way because he was our dad. He was my mom's wife. And so, and we as an individual are different people in how we express and how we deal with the death of a loved one.
Do you think some men don't grieve as much as they should because they think it's unmanly somehow? Or
men do it differently. And again, they're different. But how I'm finding the majority of men do it in their work. Oh. They express by doing it in their work. Women are more verbal, and men have to be doing something. And I have had men who work in their workshop where, you know, they constantly, maybe they're spending more hours at their job. But that's kind of how they express their pain outwardly, is through their work. And that's just, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah, there's generalizations. Right. It might be different for one particular individual, but that's generally speaking that.
Right.
We often see that. Let's go over the details. We will have some people who may have joined us midstream, especially people that jumped in the car, turned the radio on. So we're talking about remembrances, tinsel, and tears. What are the particulars on that again, Robert?
It is going to be on Tuesday, which is December the 4th, and it will start at 7 p.m. And the service will be for about an hour, and then we will have a brief reception afterwards.
Mm-hmm. There will be music.
There will be music. We will have an opportunity to light a candle in remembrance of our loved ones as well.
Will you speak?
I will be speaking, yes. Mm-hmm. And O'Shea will be there, our grief companion dog that's a part of our funeral home. And she will have a little part in the service as well.
Well, it's a great thing. There's no charge. It is open to absolutely anyone.
No, there is no charge. And the other thing that I do need to mention, and I apologize for not mentioning this, we also invite anyone who's experienced the death of a pet. Butler Pet Cremation is, we have had the opportunity to help many families who've experienced the death of their pet, which is also a very important family member.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. And so we want to offer that as well. And we also have an ornament that they can order too if they would like to, that has a paw print on it, and to remember their pet.
As we wrap up, again, the ornament, what's the situation on that?
The ornaments, you may find and learn about the program on our website, which is www.thompson-miller.com. And all the information is on there for human ornaments and pet ornaments, and the ornament forms are on there if you are interested. The ornament deadline was yesterday, but since we're on the radio today, I will extend that to the end of the week.
Mm. Well, it's a great program that you've done for many, many years now. I'm glad to see it continuing.
Thank you. We feel honored.
Robin Miller visiting with us here on the It's Your Turn program today. Hey, stick around. We're going to be talking about making sure your heating system is going to be able to keep you warm during the coming winter season. Coming. It's already here, isn't it? And still later on the program, sounds like a funny new show for Thanksgiving weekend opening this Friday at the Butler Little Theater. We'll tell you all about that, too. I have some people from the show with us. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR, Tuesday edition. We will be back after these words.
I'm Dr. Corey Pasek, an orthopedic surgeon specializing in hand and upper extremity surgery at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. The Butler area has always played a significant role in my life, dating back to my days as a player on the Knock Knights football team. Now, as Knox team physician, I get to do what I love while giving back to the community that has raised me. That's a true win-win. To learn more about the Tri-Rivers team, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
The legend of Sinatra lives on, and WISR celebrates each year with a party around his birthday. So start spreading the news. An Evening with Sinatra will be held on Thursday, December 13th. The dinner dance will be held at the Tanglewood Center at 6 p.m. with music provided by the Vince Tavallario Trio, and we'll have Italian food stations created by Chef George. It's a BYOB, and tickets are just $25 at the WISR office at 252 Pillow Street. There'll be a basket raffle and other fundraising, and it all goes to benefit the March of Dimes. Come celebrate the holiday season and the chairman of the board with WISR on Thursday, December 13th. Old Blue Eyes is back.
Welcome back, good friends. Great to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for a Tuesday, a wintry Tuesday. Most appropriate, perhaps, that we talk about how to make sure that your heating system is going to keep you warm throughout the winter season. We're pleased to have Gary Schneider here from Schneider's 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning in Butler. Gary, good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Good to see you again, Dave.
And also from Schneider's, Michael Whitmire. Michael, good to see you as well.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Nice to have you here. I have to ask you straight away about the big storm of last Thursday night. We had the ice, we had the snow, we had the power outages. Did that keep you guys extra busy over the last 4 or 5 days?
Yep. We got a lot of calls from people wanting to connect a generator to their furnace, and they were trying to figure out how to get that done. Had a lot of people, whenever the power came back on, that we're having challenges getting the furnaces running again. So, yeah, it was a pretty busy weekend.
Yeah, there's probably going to be a lot of other people after this latest episode. You know, we had 46,000 customers of either West Penn or Central Electric in Butler County. 46,000 out of service.
That's a lot.
Some for 6 or 7 hours, some for a day, some for 5 days. Not everybody's back on yet. So a lot of folks probably going to be looking at generators. It's not as simple as buying a generator and putting a little gas in and firing it up. You need connections, right? Don't you need a switch somewhere to protect your house?
Well, I'm not the generator expert, but I am the furnace expert. And the whole house generators seem to work very well. Mm-hmm. Your furnace works fine on those. The smaller generators, especially, we call them like the suitcase generators.
Yeah, exactly.
They are, on the side of them, they say inverter technology. So they are not, they don't generate a true 115 volt. They generate something less than that. And mm-hmm. because of that, the solid state boards in the furnaces don't work properly. So the furnace will not operate on those inverters.
What about people, and especially in the last 2 days now, we've had thousands of people, tens of thousands back online. Is there any danger if your power's been off for 3 or 4 days and suddenly it comes back on again in terms of your furnace?
Most of the furnaces today are smart enough to know that if there's a problem within, they shut off. They won't operate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if there's a there's been challenges with people getting them running again, and that's when we go out and figure out what's going on.
Day or night, Michael?
Day or night, Dave.
That's right. With a smile on your face, huh?
Once we get to the door, yes, sir.
Well, and the weather isn't helping any either. And I don't know whether you've heard the long-range forecast.
Yeah, we watch it, unfortunately. It's
going to get really cold. Folks, you think it's been cold for the last 4 or 5 days. Thank goodness it hasn't been bitterly cold. I mean, it's been cold. We've been hovering right around 30, 35 degrees day and night. We're going down to 14 in a couple of days, a couple of nights. And the predicted high on Thanksgiving, the high is 25. So a little extra strain on the furnace, huh?
And the furnace man.
And the furnace man, yeah. Is it, if you decided to replace your furnace, is it too late to do that now? Or can you do that even during the winter time? No problem, Michael?
Yeah, we can take care of that. It's a one-day type of service.
Oh, really?
That we offer to mm-hmm. go ahead and replace your existing furnace. So, yeah, you'd be just a few hours without the heat being created. But before we go home, you're going to be nice and warm again.
Mm-hmm. Furnaces, I note, are much smaller these days. I'm talking about the actual space they take up, whether it's in your basement or your utility room or wherever. I don't say they're tiny, but they're much, much smaller than they were even 15 years ago, Gary Schneider.
Absolutely. I think they're, a lot of the design in the new furnaces is to be able to fit them into smaller places like apartment complexes and a lot more multi-dwelling homes and stuff like that. So, I think we're unique in that a lot of our houses have big basements in them. And a lot of other areas, they just don't put a basement in them. So that furnace is designed to fit in a closet.
When I was a young child, and that's, 6, 7 years ago, somewhere like that, I can remember when our family built our first new house, we had this monstrous coal furnace in it. And I mean, of course, I wasn't very big, so maybe it looked like a gargantuan furnace to me. It was huge. And, of course, you had to feed the coal in it so many times a day and at night. Nobody has coal furnaces anymore, do they? Huh?
Not that I know of. Uh-huh. Most of those have all been gone. And that, a lot of those took up the whole basement.
Yes.
And I know we've I've been doing this, it'll be 40 years next year, and I've taken a few of those out. And, they're in a space maybe 10 feet square. And you put a furnace in the corner that's, 30 inches square.
It's the size of a box.
Yeah, yeah. And the
of
new
course, you needed a coal bin, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you had those big old coal furnaces. And, boy, they were dirty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the dirt would come up through your duct pipes, your duct system and your registers. Now, ductwork still gets dirty, right, Michael?
It does. It does. It's more, it's not the outside debris like that, but it's household dust, dirt, different things that are in our homes today. Duct cleaning solutions are a great thing. It's recommended that it's inspected at least every 5 years. And
oh,
possibly,
really? Mm-hmm. That often? I didn't realize that. Really.
Yep. And clean as needed. There's also, great technologies brought really nice air cleaners today that'll catch smaller particulates that, kind of stick together and grow, and then that becomes the dust on the coffee table.
And that's part of the furnace now, the new high-tech furnaces, right, Gary?
Yeah. It's accessories, kind of like buying a car. Do you want air conditioning? Do you want leather? That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we build a system to fit your needs in a home. So you have the furnace that does the heating, the air conditioner that does the cooling, and then indoor air quality solutions, which get rid of particulates in the air, even down to the odor level, where we can remove very small particulates out of the air.
That's done electronically now, isn't it?
Yep. And it's been done electronically for many years, but the technology now is that the filter is replaceable. So you put a filter in there and you charge it with electric, and it magnetizes the small particles of dirt, collects them to the filter, and then every couple months you take that filter out, put a new one in, take all the dirt with you. Years ago, you used to have to wash those filters out and put them back in. They were large aluminum plates, and you never quite got all the dirt off of them.
So, and they were dirty, too.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing, really, how much airborne dust and dirt is floating around in your house.
Are most of the heating systems that you put in these days at Schneider, while now heating and air conditioning, is it mostly gas?
I would say probably maybe 50% gas.
Oh, really?
And we do a lot of heat pumps. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of oil. We do geothermal heat pumps. You know, in the general Butler area, gas is available, and it's fairly inexpensive. So that's the choice if it's available.
I know oil. And I read a Wire story about geothermal one time. Is that where you take the heat out of the earth and put it back in again?
Yep. Basically, we put a closed-loop pipe in the ground and run it down into the ground and back out. And we do similar in your house to like a radiator in your car, where your radiator in your car dissipates the heat that the engine makes, and we do just the opposite. We go down into the earth and extract heat and put it into a fluid and run that into the house, and then we extract the heat out of it through a heat pump. So
sounds pretty complicated, but works well, huh?
It does, and it's been around quite a while. I would say in this area probably for 20-25 years they've been putting geothermal heat pumps in.
What about electric heat? Not too many people use that anymore, do they?
Electric is, you have electric baseboard heat that would be, a device that they mount on the wall. Mm-hmm. It gets hot. It's a fairly costly way of heating.
I was going to say, that's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah. A heat pump is much more energy efficient than, it's a way of heating with electricity, mm-hmm. but it's much more efficient than the old-fashioned electric baseboard.
Well, with the price of natural gas these days, which is very, very low, that's probably what a lot of people are looking at, too, you know.
If you can get it.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Not everybody has it.
Right.
Yeah. Talking about heating your home for the coming winter. It's already here. And actually, it's been cold for quite a while, but it's only within the last week that we had the big big snow and the ice and everything else. I don't think we're going to have any in summer this year. I still got my hopes out. I know there was one year in particular about 15, 20 years ago where it was so hot. I was involved in a Christmas concert about the 6th or 7th of December. It was like 75 degrees. That was once in my life that ever happened. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We want to make sure that your heating system is functional for the coming season. Is it too late to get an inspection of a furnace, Michael?
Definitely not. in between running around and fixing things up, our technicians are available to do deep cleanings or rejuvenations of your heating system.
Mm-hmm.
Inspect, make sure the safety components are all doing their job properly. Get rid of that dust, dirt, and debris, and keep it as efficient and it's as close to new as possible for somebody.
It collects actually inside the furnace, too, doesn't it?
It sure
does.
You
take the cover off and, dust collects everywhere. Heck, it collects under your bed, folks,
Yeah, so we're pulling it apart, and we're making sure that we get all that out of there. That way we have smooth operation throughout the heating season.
You mentioned safety. One of the things that people, I hope, are becoming more aware of these days is the danger of carbon monoxide, CO. And if you have certain things wrong with your furnace, Gary, you can have a real serious carbon monoxide problem.
You can. Anything that burns a fossil fuel, will can create carbon monoxide. So it's not just the furnace. You have the water heater. You have a kitchen stove, fireplaces.
If you had a kerosene heater, that would be creating carbon monoxide.
Absolutely. It's very important to know that you read and understand the way that the unit is supposed to be used. For us, we install a furnace. We make sure that it's installed the way the manufacturer intended it to be installed. And, you know, as they get older, the challenge with the furnace is the heat exchanger, which the heat exchanger is the part of the furnace that the fire is burnt on the inside and the air is circulated around the outside of it. That's how we get the heat from the gas into your house. So if you thought of that heat exchanger sort of like a tire, where a tire has air pressure on the inside, and if there's a hole in it, you're going to lose your air. Well, same thing here. If there's a hole in that heat exchanger, you're going to you have the potential to lose the carbon monoxide fumes that are inside that heat exchanger out into your house. So,
but no problem, Michael. You could smell the carbon monoxide, right? And you know there was danger.
Not necessarily, Dave.
No, it's odorless. You cannot smell it. In fact, you can't smell natural gas either unless they put an odorant in it, right?
Right.
Which gas companies do.
Right.
So when you think of the traditional smell, oh, I smell natural gas, actually smelling the odorant that they put in natural gas so that you might know there's a leak.
Right.
There are carbon monoxide detectors. I can remember the first one I bought was, it seemed like a small fortune at the time. They've come way down in price. Mm-hmm. Way down in price. In fact, most stores now have a combination smoke detector and carbon monoxide detector. But they're not good forever. I mean, if you bought one 15 years ago or 10 years ago, you know, there's sensors in there that eventually go bad. They're not going to be sensing the CO or the smoke forever. So, especially for what they cost these days, change them out every once in a while.
That's great advice.
Changing the batteries, yeah. We'll take a break, and we'll be back to talk more about making sure that your furnace is working properly and working safely as we head into another winter season. Back to talk more with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
You and your family are invited to attend the Thompson Miller 18th Annual Remembrances, Tinsels, and Tears Candlelight Memorial Service on Tuesday, December 4th at 7 o'clock in the evening at the Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church, 727 West Old Route 422 in nearby Mount Chestnut. Holiday time can be difficult, especially after experiencing the recent death of someone you love. We want to support you as you remember the life of your loved one during this holiday season. The Acts Choir will be joining us again this year, and there's no charge. Our special remembrance tree in memory of loved ones who have died is on display throughout December at Thompson Miller Funeral Home in downtown Butler. Please join us on Tuesday, December 4th at 7 o'clock in the evening at the Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church, 727 Old Route 422 in nearby Mount Chestnut. Easily handicap accessible. For information about purchasing a remembrance ornament in memory of your loved one, visit our website at www.thompson-miller.com. The name of your loved one will be recognized at the service. We look forward to seeing you there.
Welcome back. Our guest on this segment of It's Your Turn, Gary Schneider. He's the owner of Schneider's 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning here in Butler. Also, Michael Whitmire from Schneider's visiting with us. We're talking about not only function with your furnace, your heating system during the winter, but also safety. And by the way, these newer furnaces are not only smaller, we talked about that, Gary Schneider, much, much smaller, but they're more efficient, right? I mean, they don't cost as much to run, in other words?
Absolutely. The years ago, you talked about your coal furnace, it probably had a 8 or 9 inch pipe that went out of that coal furnace and hooked to a chimney, and there was a natural draft out of the house all the time with that. If you ever got your hand close to it, you'd find out it was hot enough you definitely wouldn't touch it. That's how much heat was going out the chimney. The old gas furnaces probably had a 6-inch pipe on them, and the same thing, you wouldn't dare touch that pipe. Today, we have a 2-inch piece of plastic pipe that runs outside for the vent, and plastic pipe doesn't tolerate a lot of heat, so you can see it's a very cool exhaust, and because of that, all the heat that you're making, you're putting into the house, or 96 to 98% of it you're putting in the house, and only venting a very small amount of it. So
this would depend on what kind of furnace you got, but you could very easily amortize the cost of a new furnace over a period of several years simply by the savings on your utility bills, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because over the years I'd say to people, well, what kind of gas bills do you get with this old monster in here? And they're like, oh, it's not bad. They're only $200 or $300. $200 or $300 gas bill, I could probably heat this house for $60 or $70. So, yeah. So it's just people's understanding of there is a better way.
Wouldn't take long to amortize the cost of a new furnace.
No, not at all.
How do you know how big a furnace to get? Michael, is there a formula? Do you, scope out the house and take a couple of measurements and figure, square footage, cubic footage? I was never real strong on that back in school. How do you know how big a furnace to get?
Sure. There's a formula we do use, but it's not just a couple of measurements. We actually measure how many square footage of glass there may be in the home, whether it's single or double pane. They would all lose or gain heat at different rates. We account for any insulation in the walls and the ceiling, and we can actually calculate on a 0-degree day that your home may need a 70,000 BTU furnace. And that's how we size it. It takes a little time to do our job right, but it's well worth it in the end. Then you're putting a machine in that's built for what it's need to do. Bigger's not better in today's world. Years ago, they used to say, well, this size furnace would be great, but I got one bigger, then you'd never have a problem. But the new technology, the machines just won't operate properly if it's oversized.
Yeah, and there's no need to get a bigger furnace if you don't need it. That's like putting I-beams in on the roof of a building. Right. Sure, you could get one that's 8 feet thick, and it would hold any snow load, but you'd never need it that thick,
Right, it's exactly the same. Sure.
BTUs. I know very little about heating, other than the fact that that stands for British Thermal Unit, right?
That's right.
I have no idea what that is, but I know that's what it stands for.
That's about as much heat it would come out of one match.
Oh, okay.
That's the easy way to explain it to you, but there is a more elaborate formula to come up with exactly what a British Thermal Unit is, but that's pretty close, about a match.
Why don't we use an American thermal unit here in the United States? What are we using a British thermal unit for, anyway?
Just not quite as trendy, I guess.
I guess they beat us to it.
And that's the way it's always been, BTUs. Well, that's one of those things that a lot of people will see, and then that's all. What's that mean? I don't know, George. I have no idea. British thermal unit. Does anybody heat with water anymore?
Yeah.
Michael?
Yep. Yeah, we still see hydronic heating systems or boilers.
That's called?
Yes, sir. Yep. I actually heat my home with a hydronic system. The advantage to that is we're not causing any draft or anything of that nature, and it's a nice constant heat. The disadvantage is there's no ductwork to carry air conditioning for the summertime. So you kind of got to weigh it out. It's not as popular today as it used to be because of the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. But, yes, we still see quite a few of them.
Where did I see that? On This Old House. You ever watch This Old House on TV?
Yep.
They were redoing a house. It's always in New England somewhere where they're doing this. And the homeowners wanted that sort of a system. They needed a boiler. And they seem to be using tubes these days. Plastic tubes with a manifold. It looked like they were building a car, not a heating system down there. I can remember when I was in elementary school, old gargantuan elementary school, heated with the hot water heat, and the radiators would hiss and pop, and sometimes steam would come out of them into the room. It was like they're going to explode or something like that.
I'm sure.
I assume today's systems are a little bit more sophisticated than that.
A little more sophisticated. They don't talk to you near as much as that steam used to.
Talk to you. That's good.
But no, they and the tubing you're referring to is it is a plastic tube, and they're actually putting it in between the floor joists or in the concrete floors today.
Oh.
To make a nice warm floor, and that becomes your entire radiator surface. Mm-hmm. And it is a very comfortable type heat again.
Let's talk a little bit about teaming up if you are considering a new furnace, getting central air at the same time. Probably the way to go, right, Gary Schneider?
You know, a lot of the labor that's involved in changing the furnace is also the same amount of labor involved in changing the air conditioner. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes more sense to replace them both at the same time, and it's a little better savings on, you know, a little better investment. So
you mentioned earlier you used the term, we'll build you a system. Mm-hmm. So depending on what people want, you can add on a central air when you're putting in a new furnace.
Exactly. Well, you know, when someone wants to buy a new furnace or air conditioner, they call us, we come in, and we measure up the house, like Mike was explaining there earlier. We go all over the house, and then we give you options. We say, here's the furnace, here's the air conditioner, this is an indoor air quality system, you know, and you can pick and choose what options you'd like to have. And once people have all the options, sometimes they, you know, make a decision that day to do it. Others say, well, give me a couple weeks or so to think about this, and That's how we work it. So,
do we have many manufacturers of furnaces these days, or is it kind of like the airlines where they've had so many mergers it's down to, you know, three or four companies?
I think there's probably still as many as there always was. There's been some consolidation going on for years in the industry, but for the most part, I think there's probably, what do you think, like six or seven maybe major manufacturers.
How long has Schneider's been around?
Well, my dad started the business in 1953. So what is that, 65 years.
Got a pretty good tradition going, Gary.
Yeah, and I've been at it full-time since 79. So it's and my brother started in it 3 years before me with my dad, and then and he's retired a couple years ago, so still going.
What's the lead time if somebody's thinking about it? This cold snap that we've had, and believe me, folks, when we get to Thanksgiving Day and the day after, it's going to be even colder, much colder than it is right now. This is probably leading a lot of people to think, I don't know, maybe we better go right now with a new furnace. Is there a lead time on that of any considerable length?
You know, if you have no heat, and you need it now, we get it now. I mean, we do a lot of that. We're doing one today that way. So, mm-hmm. You know, if we have to have it, we get out and we do it. If it's day or night or weekend or holiday, we do it, get your heat going. So in one manner or another. So, you know, if it's a planned, you know, we've been thinking about this and we'd like to change it out and you have heat now, then, you know, it might be a couple weeks before we get in and do that change out. And we try to plan ahead of time when it's not going to be so severely cold. Warm the house up in the morning, you know, mm-hmm. Turn the furnace up a few degrees more, and then out with the old, in with the new, and get your heat going, you know, before the end of the day.
Michael, as you said, in most cases, you can do that in a day.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one more thing before our time runs out, and that's about thermostats. They've changed a great deal from the old Honeywell that I used to see hanging on Mom and Dad's living room wall, right?
Yeah, they sure have. They
the knob on it. That was
that's
it.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, the bronze round Honeywell.
That's
yep.
the one. That's
yep.
the one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. We have some that look similar to that, but they're most all the thermostats today are digital or electronic sensors and whatnot. You can use a night setback thermostat options to where you regulate the heat when you maybe you need it a little more or less at different times of the day.
And it would fire it up an hour or two before you got up, so
sure.
The house would be warm.
Sure. And we also have them today that they connect to the internet, so you can control it from your smart device.
Get out.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so
some
I'm here
of them,
at work and I can Up the thermostat at home?
Yep. Or if you see someone at home upped it, you can turn it back, too. we've had that go on a few times. But what another nice feature, though, is as you're driving in the car, it'll actually sense how close you are to the home. And that thermostat would actually bring it on while you're driving. You don't have to tell it. It's a pre-programmed option, so it would start to warm the house as you're commuting home.
What a world we live in, huh? folks can ask you about that sort of thing, too, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm.
If you see the big yellow trucks around, folks, that's Schneider's. And they could be all around the region now, right, Gary?
We travel quite a distance from Butler, yes. We have technicians all over the place, and we go north, south, east, and west.
Yeah. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Dave.
It's great to be here, Dave.
Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays.
Thank you much.
Gary Schneider, he's the owner of Schneider's 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. Michael Whitmire has been there for a long time, knows a lot about furnaces and high-tech thermostats and all that sort of thing as well. He's teaching me. More to come on It's Your Turn. The Butler Little Theater is going to open a new show this Friday, actually. We'll tell you all about it. Coming up in just a moment or so. I'll be right back after these words.
Did you know that Pennsylvania leads the nation in auto collisions with deer? Not surprising if you live in Butler County. It's obvious that your car and the deer are damaged, but what about you? An impact of only 8 miles per hour is enough to cause soft tissue damage and mild whiplash. If this happens to you, visit Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive in Butler, for assessment and treatment of acute and chronic whiplash. Learn more online at applewoodchiro.com.
Choices, decisions, quality health care. These are important issues that really hit home. It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, good friends. All the guests that come in, we share power outage stories because that's what everybody's been going through over the last, almost 6 days now. Hey, the Butler Little Theater opens up a new show this weekend, and we have two guests with us here to tell us all about it. One's a member of the cast, and one's the director. That would be Dennis Casey. Dennis, good to see you.
Good to see you, Don.
An old joke that goes way, way back, that's for sure. And Dennis's wife, Nedra, is here as well. Nedra, good to see you. Nice to see you, Dave. You're in the cast of...
Yes, I am.
Jeeves in Bloom?
Yes.
I've not seen the show.
It is an English comedy, and Jeeves, as you might suspect, is the butler.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the only staid, intelligent person in the cast. And everyone else who surrounds him is crazy and zany and... out of control.
The Butler Little Theater, as long as I can remember, and Dennis, your family, your mom and dad involved in it long before us, they've always had a show that's open Thanksgiving weekend, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it kind of starts the holiday season off for mm-hmm. Butler, and it's always been quite successful for us.
If you have relatives coming in for the holiday, once Thanksgiving Day has come and gone and you've had the turkey, what do? Let's go see a show at the Little Theater.
Let's go to the Little Theater.
Or if you have your relatives and you'd like them out of their house, your house, you could suggest that you all go to the theater and enjoy the show, and you don't have to talk for a while.
So it opens this Friday, day after Thanksgiving.
Yep, and runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday matinee, and then Tuesday through Saturday next week.
All the following week.
Mm-hmm.
It's eight performances, I think, all together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you familiar, Dennis Casey, with Jeeves in Bloom?
Well, the Jeeves character is actually a book, a series of books by P.G. Wodehouse, mm-hmm. and they're quite famous in England and internationally. English humor reimagined in this play. The play was actually written by Margaret Rather, who adapted one of the P.G. Wodehouse series of stories into this one cohesive play.
Mm-hmm. And, it was also a series on BBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also.
That's correct. So you know, over the years, the Little Theater has done its share of social commentary type plays, politically relevant type plays, classics. This is none of that. This show, six people running around on stage for 2 hours for no apparent reason, and then everybody goes home.
I've had people say, I don't know where they got this, they say, what? You know, oh, it's a British comedy? What, you know? The British have a different sense of humor than we do. I don't know whether it would be funny. I always stop them in their tracks and say, did you ever watch Benny Hill by any chance?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or did you ever watch Are You Being Served? That was the department store, I guess you would call it a sitcom. That was one of the funniest shows I ever saw. And, you know, when that was airing in the United States, it was already 20 years old.
Right.
It stopped producing that 20 years. Most of those people were dead by the time it was airing on. And it was hilarious.
You know? So what I tried to do in this play, I've told many people that I tried to imagine what would happen if the cast of Monty Python went to visit Downton Abbey. and that's pretty much what we've tried to accomplish. And the people in the cast have pretty much embraced the nuances. That's a great word. Nuances.
Yes, it's very nuanced. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's talk about some of the characters. Obviously, Jeeves the butler. Who's playing Jeeves the butler?
Well, somebody you've never heard of, newcomer, Jerry Johnston, is
JJ.
How many years did you and JJ spend together on the air?
Oh, a good many, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. We have stories to tell, which will never be told.
Never be told, at least on air.
Great actor. Great. Only a funny man, but a great dramatic actor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He did. Did you see Inherit the Wind a couple of years ago?
That's enough about JJ, okay? I mean, you know.
Good stuff.
And he's... Sort of, it's different for him because usually when he's in a comedy, he is comedic, but he is the straight man in this show.
Mm-hmm. So Jeeves is the straight man.
He's the butler. He's the one that tries to bring order out of chaos.
Who is he the butler for?
He's the butler for Dahlia, who I am playing.
Mm-hmm.
And she owns the garden in which the play takes place. Dahlia and her husband, Tom, and then to the garden comes her nephew, Bertie Wooster, and he's played by Phil Ball.
And who's this character, Nedra?
He's my ne'er-to-do nephew. He's kind of a playboy. He's very carefree. He doesn't have very many responsibilities, and Jeeves is his particular butler.
Okay.
Jeeves comes to buttle for me because my butler is put out of service. So
he's on the disabled
list.
Yes,
yes. So
upper body injury.
Yes, yeah.
Jeeves comes
upper body
to my
injury
home
for, you know,
yeah.
He got checked into the boards,
to help me out. Actually, in the BBC series, Hugh Laurie played Bertie.
Oh, the guy that played a doctor, right?
Uh-huh. House.
Yeah. Doctor House. Yeah. Hmm. Yes, so that's kind of interesting. And my husband is played by Bob Niels. He plays my husband, Thomas Travers.
Mm-hmm.
I am Dahlia Travers. And adding to the cast, we also have Amy Evans, who plays... she's a niece of mine through my husband's family. And Bertie is my nephew through my family.
There's going to be a quiz at the
yes,
end.
Yes, yes. So if you're writing that down
notes.
At home, yes. And so she is Madeline, and she's played by Amy Evans, who's also done some things at the theater, too. She and I were in Book of Liz together many, many, many years ago.
Remember that show, yeah.
And she also got to play the peanut with dress up like Mr. Peanut, as I did later in the show. So it was amazing to have her back. And then added into the mix is Birdie's friend, who is Augustus Finknottle. And it's very important that you know that his name is Augustus Finknottle, because no one calls him that, and I call him Spink Bottle. No one knows his name. And he comes because he's enamored of Madeline. And Augustus is played by Daniel Williams. And both Daniel and Amy are actually from London. So we have to mind our P's.
I think Daniel would take great exception.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's not from...
He's from England.
Well, he's from England. England, not necessarily
he's
from...
He's quite precise in telling
yes, oh, he is from...
Not
yes,
from
sorry,
London.
He's from England.
So I'm assuming you haven't had to coach them much in
the... Well, they've got these stupid fake accents that the two of them use. You know, JJ's accent's way better than Daniel's.
Do all the other characters use English accents?
Yes.
No, they
oh,
don't.
I'm sorry,
Harry,
I'm
correcting my mind. You know,
no,
my
I'm
wife
sorry.
And
jeez.
I have had 42 wonderful years together, Dave, out of 44. So it's a good ratio, I think. And most people, we didn't have any bad years. There were no two bad years, just individual days that might have added up to some problems. And so I'm about to cause one now, because not all of the characters have English accents.
Right.
We have a character who is French, and he has a lovely French accent that we hope the audience enjoys.
And who's playing that character? Grant Clark?
Grant yes. Clark.
Look at my cast list here. Mm-hmm. By the way, did we mention that Phil Ball is Birdie?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Phil Ball is...
I actually did mention that.
Yes, that was...
I did that well, didn't I?
She scored that well,
you.
Yes. You notice the fake sort of English thing I'm doing here, because I'm not actually on stage, so...
Well, it kind of grows on you, you know?
Yeah.
You talk about
this
enough, and then by the end of the show, we're all talking with a British accent.
It totally does.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had to mind our P's and Q's, and I've had a couple of suggestions by Daniel. The main one being, not pawn, pawn. I'm like, okay, all right. So it's pawn, not pawn.
Pawn, like a chess piece? Is that what we're talking about?
No, like,
pawning
remember
diamonds.
When you pawned your class ring?
Oh, okay.
We're pawning diamonds. So they are very precise, and
Dave
it
loves
helps.
It when I come on the radio to torture him, you know,
it's the same
twice
word.
A year. It's not
it
pawn, pawn. Or on the old Get Smart TV show. Not craw, craw.
Don Adams.
Yeah. Hot, hilarious.
Barbara Feldon. Right?
Yeah. But you know, Mel Brooks. Yeah. So, you know, it's very cerebral comedy, you know.
Now, is this a physical comedy here, too, like we might have seen in Monty Python or Benny Hill or something?
Yeah.
There is lots of physical comedy.
We've added a few movements, you know. I mean, there's no curling in the show, but we do have our share of fun on stage. And I don't want to give away too much because, you know, I don't want to telegraph the humor, but trust me, if you're looking for a way to relax and launch yourself into the holiday with good cheer, we believe this show will do it for you. And, you know, if you enjoy it, you should come. You should tell your friends. If you don't enjoy it, just shut up and leave. You know, really, come on. We got enough problems down there. Don't give me
a... We'll take a quick break. We're talking about this show that opens this Friday, day after Thanksgiving, at the Butler Little Theater, the English comedy Jeeves in Bloom. We'll take a break and come back and talk more with our guests in just a moment or so. One of our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours. You know, they have a nice day trip coming up in early December down to Ogle Bay down in West Virginia. Beautiful light to show down there. They've been doing it for years and years. Trouble is, you know, a lot of folks say, well, I'm not sure whether I want to drive the whole way to West Virginia, and I'm especially not sure I want to drive the whole way back late at night in the dark and everything. Well, Butler Motor Tours has taken a trip down there. It includes a dinner, too. It's very nice. You can enjoy the light show, and then you can sit back and relax on their luxury coach as you come back to Butler. So check it out. It's on their website, butlerbus.com. Pretty easy to remember, butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tour has been around for more than 75 years, and they've been taking folks from our area to places near and far for, three-quarters of a century. They're also booking now for their trips to Florida. They always take a couple of trips to Florida once we get into the new year. So check them out. South Monroe Street in Butler, you can call them or go to their website, butlerbus.com, or look for their brochure. Their 50-page brochure will be coming out very soon for the new year. Butler Motor Tours, online at butlerbus.com. We'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 1111. The pick 3 is 601. The pick 4 is 0570. The pick 5, 79990. The wild ball for each of those is 5. The treasure hunt is 6, 10, 12, 13, and 16. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $44,000.
Where does all of the action in this, does it all take place in one location?
Yes, it takes place in my garden. So it's a garden setting.
Why would everybody come to your garden? Is there a house party or something? What's going on?
Well, not really. My nephew ends up bringing his friend to stay at my house because he just comes to my house because I live in a very wonderful manor. And then my husband invites his niece down to our manor, and so we just are all meeting in the garden. And the garden is beautiful. We've got an archway and plants and a fountain.
The garden was created by Art Black, who builds a lot of the sets down at the Little Theater, and decorated beautifully by Chris Bearer. And almost worth the price of admission just to come in and tour the garden.
Is there any specific time frame for this? Is it dated one particular year or something like that?
It takes place in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
The 1930s.
The 1930s, yes.
not the
1930s. Yes.
You know, in the 1830s, nobody was funny because everybody had to go outside to pee.
That's right.
So you can just think about how much fun we've been having in the last 6 days. So,
in fact, it says the time is late June 1931.
So you've got period costumes to, gather up and everything like that.
And the costumes were coordinated by Hannah Wallach. And Hannah was with us in the cast of Boeing Boeing last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that show too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you like that show, Dave?
Yes, I did.
See, and there's no reason why you wouldn't come to this show then, right? I mean, it's a funny show. This show will be funny.
I plan to be there.
Stop complaining, man. You know, it's a funny show.
Is there any romance in this show at all, or even a hint of it?
Yes, there is a romance between
Augustus
and Madeline.
Have you paid attention
rehearsals? No, I was... Oh,
this is
goodness.
Going to be one of those days.
People at home are saying, we got our power back for this. Anyway, between Augustus and Madeline, Madeline is enamored of Augustus. Augustus is enamored of Madeline. Augustus is an expert on newts, little tiny lizard things, and he's kind of a...
He's a strange duck.
Yes, he's a little bit of a misfit and not very smooth with the ladies.
Well, if he's enamored of newts, I mean, that's not exactly cocktail talk, you know.
No. And then he's helped in his romance by Bertie. So Bertie brings him up there. Bertie's his friend, and he brings him up there because he knows that Madeline is already there at his aunt's house.
A little matchmaking,
and
perhaps.
Yes, so matchmaking ensues and hilarity ensues. And
this is not like an Arthur Conan Doyle plot. I mean, it's fairly thin. So the characters, the incidents that happen, the chaos, that's where the humor comes from.
We don't know how long the show is going to run. Depends on how many laughs. It sounds like there might be long pauses for laughter here.
Well, I will tell you that when we did Boeing Boeing last year, the show ran quite long because we didn't account for that much laughter. And I got a feeling this show is going to be the same way.
Does it run straight through or is there an intermission?
There is an intermission.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but all of the action takes place in the garden.
We could have tea and crumpets in intermission.
That's right. We might. I don't know what they're planning on. That's a great idea. They should do
English
that.
Garden. Yes, yeah, British comedy, you know, I'm thinking. A little Earl Grey and, you know, some biscuits.
That's a great idea. And, in fact, I'm going to pass on. If they do that, I'm going to tell them that Dan Mullarkey said that was a good
Dennis, you're obviously done theater from all different angles before. Do you enjoy directing?
I do. In fact, I was just reminiscing. The first play I directed at the Little Theater was in 1973. And as I pointed out to some people, that was before some people in this cast had the good sense to be conceived. So... it's been a long time, and I enjoy directing. I enjoy directing specific shows. I mean, I like I like certain dramas. I like certain comedies, and so the play has to appeal to me for me to be interested in directing. Because let's face it, Derek, I've got a huge ego. So most of the time, I'd rather be on stage than directing. But I've directed probably a dozen shows over the years.
Well, you know, if you look at movies, plays too, but movies, there are a lot of actors who have had sometimes long and distinguished careers, and they've turned to directing. And really, Ron Howard would be a good example. Child actor, young adult actor, and he just directs.
Well, that Opie thing didn't work out for him, he decided to go to directing.
Clint Eastwood.
Oh my gosh.
Fabulous director. I'm not even joking about that.
He's an amazing director.
Very, very good. And many others as well. I think if you've been an actor, you might have a better understanding.
I think also specifically for, you know, me here in Butler, there aren't as many parts for short, fat, old guys as there are, you know, that there should be. You know, there should be way more than there are. But directing is another way to be creative and so that's what I'm doing.
Nedra, your acting resume goes all the way back to college, right?
Well, actually, I started at the Little Theater at age 13.
Oh, well, you're still in school.
In the workshop. And I think my mother heard me speaking a lot of different accents and voices at home and said, oh, let's channel her, get her in the theater. It was either there or
fit her for a jacket.
Yes, or an insane asylum. So I started out in the workshop, and I did my first full stage show when I was 15 at the Little Theater.
Wow.
The happy time. Yes, the happy time.
Uh-huh. That was back when the scripts were written on clay tablets.
Yeah. And I also remember with that show, I was very upset because my friend who tried out with me, who was a year... Well, she was my age. She became the French maid, and I became the 12-year-old girl. So, yes.
Bummer.
So I've been, So I acted there through high school. I did a couple of things, and then after college, I came back and started acting a lot down at the Little Theater.
Dennis, your mother and father were pillars of the Butler Little Theater. Officers.
Yep.
Actors, directors, party givers.
Yes, they were. My dad was chairman of the board at the theater for many years, served on the board for many years. My mother was quite active acting and backstage, and she was best actress there once and did a lot of shows. I did shows in the 60s. First show I ever did at the Little Theater was directed by a guy, I don't think anybody WISR ever heard of him, but Joel Rosenblum.
Oh, yes.
And... I had to learn how to play the ukulele for that show when I was like 15 years old.
Former owner of WISR Radio. So you would have come, obviously, your earliest memories. Your mom and dad were involved in the theater, community theater.
Yeah, the first play I ever saw my mother was acting in. So, yeah.
Jeeves in Bloom. Tickets are available, obviously, now. Got Thanksgiving coming up, so we won't be able to get any on Or maybe you can get them online.
You get them online. You may get them online.
You can get them online at bltgroup.org, or you can get them by phone tonight, tomorrow night, and then again starting Friday night. And the phone number at the Little Theater, I never call it because I'm always there, so I don't have the number at the top of my
Maybe on my information here, 287-6781.
Oh, we knew That's we it. Could count on you for something, Darren.
Well,
ladies and gentlemen, this will be my last appearance on WSR Radio.
On Dave's
never
show.
Remember your own phone number. In fact, I can't remember anybody's because you just push a button.
Yes,
that's true.
You don't have to memorize a phone number anymore. But I see more and more people who are coming to the theater with their pre-printed tickets. They do it online, and you don't have to stand in line at the box office.
I think they appreciate the convenience of being able to do it online.
Yeah, and then we also, meet them at the door if we are ushers with a
bouquet of flowers. No, I'm sorry, you're trying to say something else.
With a laptop, and so they just tell us their name, and then we say, oh, yes, you're right here. And so we don't have to take tickets from them or anything. It makes the process go a little bit quicker also.
Our listeners may perhaps have guessed that the three of us have done some shows together. Murder at the Howard Johnson's would perhaps be my favorite that the three of us were
absolutely
involved in.
Hilarious.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think after you folks moved to North Carolina for a while, I actually did that show again at the Little Theater.
Yeah, we heard about it. It could not have been as good as when the three of us did it, because that's impossible to believe.
Paled in comparison. no question about it. I have such fond memories of that show, especially trying to rig up that fake noose that we – remember that?
Yes, because I remember it vividly because I believe we were trying to hang Nedra.
That's correct.
And I don't know why, but I dream of that.
And we wanted it to look authentic, but of course we didn't want it to work.
I had to be very, very nice to both Dave and Dennis during that show so that they would make sure that the noose did not tighten around my neck.
Don't worry. This will work.
Show. Does anybody know anything about Jeeves and Bloom? Is it new? Has it been around?
It's been around. I don't know exactly when the play was written. I think Nedra can maybe look it up here while we're chatting. But the books that the play is based on, they were also begun to be published in the 30s. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. P.G. Woodhouse died in the mid-70s.
Right.
Lived a long life. He actually did he spent a good bit of time in the U.S., even though he was British. And he did some musicals. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he wrote some musicals. Teamed up with some other guys, kind of like Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah, got it.
Rodgers and Hart, sort of thing. But
It was originally produced in September 2009, so it's fairly recent.
Mm. And again, this is an adaptation by you mentioned
Margaret,
her name.
Margaret Rather.
I've not seen it. In fact, I had not heard of it until I saw it on the playbill for the Little Theater, so I'm anxious to see it. It opens this Friday. It's always a tough show to do because you're doing your final dress rehearsal on Wednesday, and then you have 2 days off before you do the show again, and you hope that people don't eat too much turkey and forget their lines.
Yeah, I hope Phil Ball comes through. You're taking a chance when you're asking him to remember something for 2 days.
I think with that cast, you've got a winner there. Jeeves in Bloom opens this Friday night at the Butler Little Theater, runs Saturday night, Sunday matinee, and then the theater's dark on Monday, as theaters all over the world are, and then Tuesday through Saturday of next week. So you can go online, bltgroup.org. Or Google Butler Little Theater, and I'll take you to their website if you want to make reservations. And hope to see you at the theater. Yeah.
Thanks for your time, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Notice
Dave.
I said Dave.
I noticed. He's about fell off my chair. Dennis Casey directs this show, and Nedra Casey is in it. And it's always good to see them. Happy Thanksgiving, folks.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
See you at the theater. That wraps up our program for today. We certainly thank our earlier guests, Robin Miller with us, talking about the remembrances and Tinsel and Tears program coming up to help people who are missing a loved one come the holiday season. It's a wonderful thing. And also talking with Gary Schneider and Mike Whitmire about making sure that your furnace is working and keeping your house warm, because you know winter's going to be coming sooner or later. Ha ha. Yeah. That wraps up our program for today. Hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR News. Coming up for you next.
It's up-to-the-minute local, national, and world news from WISR Butler, Pennsylvania, and the CBS Radio News Network.